an experimental group, and we are going to implement what Neil was basically just talking about. This work is done with my supervisors, Nicolas Galbou and Jose Fernandez, and my friend Felix Boussier. I searched Google Images, and this is what I found. It has nothing to do with Felix. He's sitting right there. And he talked about coin tossing earlier on. The outline of the talk is to give you a kindergarten account of the cluster state model, as opposed to what Neil gave you. And then compare quickly the cluster state model with the circuit model in terms of implementation. And then I will move on to experimental techniques and tell you what we are trying to do in the lab and the future work or the immediate future work. Well, I'll start by telling you what the cluster is. You can think of it as a two-dimensional mathematical graph where each edge is a plus state, where plus is 0, plus 1, and where there are lines, basically there is a control Z between these qubits. And how do we do computation with this? Well, the computation is done by only doing single qubit measurements in a different, with different bases. And the choice of the bases are determined by the algorithm you're implementing and by the results of the previous measurements, as you were just told. And when I say it measuring in different bases, it means that you take your qubit and you apply your rotation around the z-axis of the block sphere. And then after you apply a Hadamard to that qubit and you send it to the detector. Well, use the same example as Neil. You have two qubits. The first one is state psi, alpha 0 plus beta 1. And the second one is in the plus state, so you can write it that way. When you do the control Z between them, the plus here changes into a minus. Now, when you apply a Hadamard on the first qubit, you can write this state as such. And as you see, it is 0 tensor H, the input psi, and 1 tensor XH, the input psi, where X is the Pauli matrix and H is a Hadamard. And as you see, the information which was here is not lost. It is somehow transferred to the second qubit. And that is the information flow that Neil was also talking about. All right, so experimentally, what is the difference between a cluster state and between a cluster and a circuit model, basically? Well, in the circuit model, we have to prepare single qubits in the lab as inputs. And then the processing is done by doing multi-qubit unitary transformations. And the outputs are, again, qubits. For the cluster state in the lab, we have to first prepare an initial entangled cluster, which is our initial resource. And the computation is done, again, by only single-qubit measurements. And the output are the remaining qubits. Now, as it happens, it seems to be very difficult to do multi-qubit unitary transformations in the lab. So there is some work to be done, but the progress is not very, very promising in that department. Now, for the cluster state, there are some methods which are proposed to prepare this cluster of entangled qubits in different systems. And the experimental work is being done, and it is moving rather more rapidly than the circuit model. So it seems to be more processing. And the processing or the computation is actually very easy to do in the cluster state model. And well, the outputs are, again, qubits. And well, in this comparison, the winner is the cluster for us. Okay, how do we do this in our lab? We basically use two different degrees of freedoms of photons as a physical implementations of our logical qubits. These two different degrees of freedoms are the polarization of light. One of them is the polarization of light, and the polarization of light is basically the direction of the oscillation of the electric field when when light is coming towards you. So in this one, these are, let's say these are three photons, and these are the electric fields of these photons. And it's coming towards it. So you see that they can oscillate in different directions. We can write any state of polarizations using only the horizontal and the vertical polarization of light. We can write it as a linear superposition of these two states. And we assign the logical qubit 0 to horizontal polarization and the logical qubit 1 to the vertical polarization. The other degree of freedom that we use is called time being. And it is basically the arrival time of the photon at our detector. So the photon can either arrive shortly or it can arrive later. Again, we assign the logical qubit 0 to short and logical qubit 1 to long. All right, but how can we play with these and do arbitrary qubits? Well, in terms of polarization, I have taken this straight out of either Quickie or Wikipedia. For that, we can use something which is called a half-wave plate. A half-wave plate is basically a piece of birefringent glass. And the way it works is that it has an axis which we can call the fast axis. And here, let's say the fast axis is in the horizontal direction. If light is polarized in horizontal direction, it is going to be faster. It is going to move faster in this material compared to the light which is vertically polarized. So by the end, the light arrives at the end of this crystal. There is a phase difference between its different polarization components because its horizontal component has moved faster. Now, in a half-wave plate, basically, the difference is a half wavelength between the vertical and horizontal components of the polarization. So we can use something like this, and depending on what angle you put, you can basically play with the values of alpha and beta in our qubit. Alpha H plus beta V. For time being, we can basically use an interferometer. Yes? No, the thing is that. You have a photon, and let's say this photon is 45 degree polarized. And if the photon is 45 degree polarized, it means that it is in H plus V, normalized H plus V. So the photon goes in there. Nothing is getting separated. What is happening is that the horizontal component of the polarization is a kind of a seeing. I want to say it moves faster, but it creates the same mistake, I guess. Basically, each different components of the polarization see a different phase change when they go through this material. Maybe that's the best way to put it. So it is the same photon. Light is not getting divided into two. And when I divide it into two that way in horizontal and vertical, it is basically just a mathematical thing to do, in fact. Exactly, exactly. No, they will arrive at different times. Okay, so for the time being, we can basically use an interferometer with different arm lengths. This is an example of an interferometer. These lines represent an optical fiber. And this is a coupler or a beam splitter. It can have any ratio that you design it to be. And this can be a 50-50 beam splitter. And basically what you can do is you can change the coupling ratio here, and you can play with the phase difference between the two arms. And that will allow you to basically come up with any alpha and beta that you want. So in order to create a plus state, for example, I am going to choose this to be a 50-50 beam splitter, 50-50 beam splitter, and I'm not going to introduce any phase difference between the two arms. And what happens is that the pulse goes through. The state is divided into the two arms. So one state sees the longer path. And when your photon, it is still only one photon, arrives at this arm. But if it goes there, you discard it. If it arrives at this arm, you have a state short plus long, normalized. All right, but how do we measure things in the lab in different bases? Again, for polarization, we use the half-wave plate, as I explained to you. And when we rotate it, we are basically applying a rotation around the z-axis of the Poincaré sphere. And after that, we use something which we call a polarization beam splitter. It allows horizontally polarized light to go through, and it reflects vertically polarized light. Now, if we rotate both of these guys together, what happens is that this whole system will apply the rotation and the correct detection. And of course, we have to also apply a Hadamard. And the Hadamard and the rotation can be put together in this half-wave plate. Well, how do we do it in time being? For time being, we use a phase modulator. The phase modulator induces a phase difference between the short and long states of the photon. And then we are going to have a rather more complicated circuit here. And again, these are all optical fibers. These are time switches. They allow when the photon is arriving at the time short, it is going to be going up there. And when it arrives at the time long, it's going to go straight. Here is, again, a 50-50 beam splitter. And well, with this one, you can basically apply any rotation that you want. But if we choose phi 1 to be 0 and phi 2 to be pi, we can show that this applies a Hadamard on the qubit. And then, of course, we send the state to the detectors. And by seeing the time of the arrival of the photon, we know what we are measuring. OK, what is our goal? Our goal is to create a 4-qubit square cluster. And we want to do this on only two photons. So we have two photons, which are represented by these dashed lines. And we have one polarization and one time beam qubit encoded on one photon, and one polarization, one time beam on the other photon. And yeah, basically, we want to have entanglement between all these degrees of freedom. So how do we do that? We use spontaneous parametric down conversion as the source of our single photons. And again, what it is quickly is that you use a nonlinear crystal, and you send one photon to it. The photon gets annihilated, and two other photons are created such that their energies and their momentums add up to your incoming photon. OK, so here I have a nonlinear crystal. I use Bebo in the lab. And I want to see what happens if I send a plus state in time being, or short plus long, to this crystal. Well, what happens is that either this state is going to create two photons, or this state is going to create the two photons. So you have no way of knowing it. The system itself has no way of knowing it. So what happens is, at the end, you will have two photons coming up. So that their energies add up to the energy of this one, and their quantum state is an entangled state of short-short plus long-long. All right, for polarization, I have taken this from one of the papers of Paul Kovia. If we have one of these nonlinear crystals and we send a photon through it which is horizontally polarized, we can arrange our phase matching angle for the crystal and so on, so that when this photon gets annihilated, it gets rise to two other photons, or the two daughters, which are vertically polarized. Now, imagine that I rotate all these by 90 degrees. So I send a photon which is vertically polarized, then the two daughters coming out will be horizontally polarized. If I put these back to back to each other, I will get this thing right here, and I will send a photon which is 45 degree polarized. So these two crystals are exactly the same, and there's the same chance that the photon is annihilated in the first one and giving rise to horizontally polarized light, or it is annihilated in the second one and gives rise to vertically polarized light. So, and we have no way of knowing it. The system has no way of knowing it. So what comes out is entangled in the state horizontal, horizontal plus vertical, vertical. OK, what we want to do is we want to create this state. So we have a hyperentanglement in polarization and in time being degrees of freedom. And the way we do it is, well, we put these two crystals where they are rotated with each other with 90 degrees. And we send a qubit to it, which is in state short plus long in time being. And it is 45 degree polarized. So it is horizontal plus vertical in polarization degrees of freedom. Now, when this guy goes into these crystals, well, it is going to give us both these entanglement states, and we have reached the goal. So basically, what comes out here up to a Hadamard transformation on one of these qubits is equivalent to such a cluster where these are the polarization and these are the time being. And again, I remind you that I have only two photons. All right, now what I want to do is I want to entangle the polarization and time being degrees of freedoms on the same photon. Well, that is a relatively easy thing to do. The way it can be done is that you send the photon, and it sees a polarization beam splitter. If it is vertically polarized, it takes this path. And you put a phase modulator, so it modulates the phase. It applies a negative phase if the photon is at time long. And then the photon comes back here, and it is being put back on the same rail. And if it was horizontally polarized, nothing happens to it. It just goes there. Now, this whole thing can be summarized in one device, which is a polarization-dependent phase modulator. And I show it by PDPM. OK, this is a very rough sketch of the experiment. We are using a TISAF laser in picosecond regime. It produces pulses, which are centered at 720 nanometers. And I am using a Beeble crystal to do second harmonic generation, which is the reverse process of spontaneous parametric downconversion, to change the wavelengths from 720 to 360 nanometers. And here, I use an interferometer to create the plus state in time being. I should, in fact, use also a half-wave plate to rotate the polarization. The polarization of the photon is horizontal here. I need to rotate the polarization to 45 degrees. And then I send this photon to the two crystals which are going to do the parametric downconversion and produce the entanglement. When this is created, I have the two daughters created. One is in 680 nanometers, the other one is 765 nanometers. I couple them to fiber. And here I have a frequency demultiplexer. So it goes through the demultiplexer, which means that it separates the two different frequencies. I use an all-fiber polarization controller to apply the Hadamard on this one. And I use this big thing here to apply the Hadamard on the time being of this daughter here. And by this point, I have this state, where this is one photon and this is the other photon. And now if I apply the polarization-dependent phase modulator on each line, I can add the two vertical lines here and get the square cluster. Well, since I'm doing things in optical fibers, I can drag everything from there to here. And now I need to do the measurement. In fact, just a little experimental touch. If you're in the lab, you cannot do this, because if you do sharp turns in fibers, all your light escapes. So by the time with these two sharp turns that I have, nothing remains at this point. So well, I need to do the measurements in the bases that I choose to do. How do I do that? Well, I basically put the measurement schemes for time beam and polarization one after each other. So here I apply the phase modulation to do the rotation with whatever angle I want to measure. And then I do the Hadamard. So again, this is 0 and this is pi. I do the Hadamard on time beam. Here I do the Hadamard and the rotation to the polarization degree of freedom. Here I will have an all-fiber polarization beam splitter and the two detectors. And I do exactly the same thing on the other photon. How much time do I have? I have time? OK, great. So the good thing is that this is done. In fact, the Grover search algorithm is implemented. Maybe I shouldn't go back. Go forward. The Grover search algorithm is implemented in two different ways that I know of. One of them is when all these qubits are polarization. And another one, which the paper came out recently, is done when these are polarization. And these two are the spatial degrees of freedom. So basically, the which path degree of freedom of the photon. I will very quickly go over the two-qubit Grover algorithm. I will define the algorithm to be that I have these two qubits, basically two qubits in plus state. And the oracle is going to choose one of these states, whatever that she wants, and tags them by changing the sign the sign to a minus sign. And then my task is to take the state that the oracle has tagged for me. So as it happens, I am not going to get into the details, but as it happens, you can do this using this cluster, such that when you do measurements on these two qubits, depending, you can choose the measurement angle, and depending on which angle you choose, you pick one of these states. So you choose the angle, let's say, that picks this one, and do your measurement. What it does is that it picks a state, it tags that, but it also applies the Hadamards, which are going to start your inversion about the average to complete the Grover. And then on this side, when you do the measurements on these qubits, you basically finish the inversion about the average, and you have the readout. So you do this once, and the states remaining here, or the states you are measuring, in this case will be 0 and 1. OK, what is good to what is good if we use more than 1 degree of freedom on each photon? Well, first of all, it reduces the amount of the resources that we need. And our resources here are single photons. And as you heard before in the morning talk, when you shine light to these crystals, the outcome is not going to be great. Like, you have a very low probability of creating single photons when you send pulses to these crystals. So if we need less single photons, it is better for us. In the paper, it is the research group of PAN, where they have mixed the polarization and spatial degrees of freedom. They have reported more than 95% fidelity for quantum gate output, which is very good. And I'm curious to see what we will get if we mix time bin with polarization, in fact. And the advantage of us is that since we are working in optical fibers, we can implement the feed-forward feature of the cluster state model. All right, our immediate future work is that, well, I'm going to continue basically building up the experimental setup and do the experiment. We are going to study the generation of larger clusters when we are using more than 1 degree of freedom, basically how we can go from 4 qubits to larger clusters. And we should also do a study to see what kind of algorithms we can implement, because here, since we have 2 qubits on only one, or more than 2 qubits, well, in this case we had 2, on only 1 photon, when you measure the photon, you are basically losing your other qubits. So you are not free to pick any qubit that you want and do your single qubit measurement. So the algorithm should be such that you need to measure 2 qubits which are sitting on the same photon at the same time. So that's I'm not sure if how much limitation, if any, it will put on the kind of computation that we can do. Well, at the end, I would like to thank Elham Kashafi for useful discussions, and I would like to thank you. Yes. Yes, why fibers? The thing is that it has shown that time beam entanglement is very robust in optical fibers. So that is already a big advantage. So we can keep, we can all control the polarization in the fiber, but of course it is not as good as time beam. So that is one advantage. And the other thing is that, yes, we can keep the photons there. While, imagine that we get to more than 4 qubits. So we can keep all the photons in the fiber while we are doing all these different feed forwards, which are basically classical electronics, so they are slower processes to do. So, yes? Why type 1? Because when you couple light to fiber, you lose a lot of the light. So I chose type 1, and it is, in fact, collinear phase matching type 1. So I want both daughters to be exactly on the same line, so that it makes coupling to fiber easier. And then I separate with the demultiplexing. Yes? Well, what you do essentially is we set up the whole line in fiber, and you send the, let's say, horizontally polarized light into the fiber. And well, since I know the path, and I know where it should come out, and I know which polarization it should come out. So I do that, and I do it also with vertical light, and you have to fix the fibers in place, because of course if you have a fiber rotation or bends, it is going to change the scale. So essentially we have to control the polarization that way. For the length of the fibers that we need to use, it is not much. It's negligible. Yes. Yes, of course, that is the next logical step. But I'm still in the first step, though. So.
I have my.